Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, this should be an interesting weekend. Maybe some free agent news will pop over Saturday or Sunday. We'll be, of course, ready to talk about it and write about it in the Tampa Bay Times on tampabay.com. The only thing I know about Baker Mayfield, Steve, is that he's a left-handed batter, in case you didn't know. And I think he still has a good swing. He took batting practice with the New York Yankees at Steinbrenner Field.
Now, if he took it with the Yankees, does that mean he's going to the Giants or Jets?
Is it the Yankees, Jets, Mets, Jets? Or Yankees, Giants,
Mets,
and
Jets.
Then Mets, Jets? Is that how that goes?
I think so. So he's replacing Daniel Jones. Is what
he's going to take Daniel Jones' job. Yeah.
Well, he'd like that contract. So, you know.
He would. According to some people, he wants $44 million, not just $40. But that aside, yeah, who wouldn't take Daniel Jones' deal?
Well, you know, it was supposed to be signed yesterday, I think so.
Yeah, some people said that as well. It is not. And we got some mailbag questions coming up. At least one wondering, what the hell is Baker Mayfield doing taking all this time to negotiate with the Buccaneers? So we can address that in just a second. But yeah, you know, I guess some people can look at it this way. Well, he's back in Tampa. You know, he lives here. That's good.
That is true. He could, as we talked about yesterday, he could show up at the Mike Evans press conference today and sign his contract.
If the Bucs, you know, not to take away from Mike's day, and that would probably be the first consideration. It's like, well, they both deserve their day. What better thing to do than to have that combination, right? Mayfield to Evans show up and walk in tandem, you know, to sit down at the press conference today. That is at I think 12 or 12:30. I got an email about it. Don't worry, I'll be there. You know, just kind of walk in. Start with Evans, and then all of a sudden Baker walks in or something like that.
I don't think it would take away from. I mean, if I'm Mike, it would be surreal if that happened.
Would be. That is the word of the day. It would be very surreal. I don't know that will be the case. They probably will just, even if they do get it done, not announce it until after the press conference for some weird reason. I tend to think this feels to me more like a, you know, the legal tampering period, if you will, or the negotiating period begins on Monday at around, 4 o'clock or something like that. And this feels to me like one of those, you know, pre-start of the legal tampering period deals, or maybe even right before the start of free agency, which is Wednesday at 4 o'clock, the start of the new league year. So I think we might just take this all the way up to the deadline. And again, we got questions about that, but hey man, you know, Baker and taking in a little baseball. He was a really good baseball player. When I sat down with him, when he first got here, a year ago, we talked about, you know, his decisions of where to go to college. And he didn't have that many Division I offers. I think Rice, Washington State, FAU, and he winds up at Texas Tech. And one of the reasons he went to Texas Tech, in addition to the fact that it's Texas, is where he's from, is that they offered him a chance to play baseball. And he was going to get a chance to play college baseball. And he was an infielder with an obvious strong arm. But he throws right, as we know, but I didn't know that he batted left, which is really cool. You know, it's certainly an advantage with all the right-handers you face in baseball. But, yeah, he was out
it's
there.
It's good enough. Hey, the Rays need a left-handed bat. They could, you know.
Well, yeah. Pull him down. And yeah, he's had a lot of Rays. And of course, who was at the cage with him? And I don't know if he took any swings. Tristan Wirfs.
Well, you can't go anywhere without your protection.
I think Tristan was going to charge the L screen from the batting practice coach if he got hit or something. You know what I mean? Or does Tristan run out there and knock a ball down that's a little too inside? Is that how he protects him? Like, what does he do? Protect your quarterback.
Yeah, you have to, you know, if the ball's coming right at him, you have to jump exactly. In front of him like the
Secret Service. It's right. Dive, take one in the ribs for him. Hey, man, that ball's going to hit you. But, yeah. it was you know, those two who have been powering around now for over a year, and vacation recently, I think, with their pregnant wives and slash girlfriend down in the Bahamas. So good to know he's back in town. Wonder if he'll come, whether he's signed or not. Wonder if he'll come to the Mike Evans press conference.
Well, it would be a little awkward if he comes.
It would be.
And then he was next still week signed somewhere else.
Steal the attention away from Mike on his day, and then go, yeah, you know. So what are you doing, Baker? No one wants to talk to Mike at this point. But no. So we'll get a chance to do that. And I'm sure Mike got at least a gut feeling of what his quarterback is going to do before he signed. I think I would, if I were him, want to know who my guy is going to be, if it's going to be Kyle Trask or, you know, John Wolford or somebody like that. But yeah, it's going to be fun to see what exactly is the deal there. All right. So what else do we have? Oh, the Tampa Bay Lightning, just real quick.
Ooh,
a lot of days off, a lot of games at hand by the other teams. You played Calgary, and correct me if I'm wrong, they've traded away about four players in the last week or so.
Yes.
And so this was a sort of a wounded, we're out of the race Calgary team that came in here and put a whooping on the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, Lightning didn't play very well. I think, let me look up the exact quote, because it was actually a really good one from John Cooper here.
John Coop, yeah.
Yeah. The execution was horrendous. But decision-making was probably even worse than that.
That's very McKay-esque, actually. You know, that's very close to the great late John McKay, you know, who the old, when they asked him about yep. his team's execution, he said he was in favor of it.
Exactly.
But he also would say stuff like, well, we didn't block, but we made up for it by not tackling. So it was kind of the same backwards statement there by Coop. So yeah, not happy with the lad's performance. And you know, they got down 1-0, they crawled back in, tied it up, and you know, they're kind of going seesaw there for a little bit. But yeah, Edmonton scored what felt like three goals in about 2 minutes or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, in the second period they got a bunch right in a row there after yeah. it was 1-1 going to the break. So
yeah, disappointing for them. And really, they don't have much wiggle room. Like, they need to rack up some points. They are hanging on sort of in that last wild card spot, right?
Well, they're in the last wild card spot. Before going into Thursday night, they controlled their own destiny because no team behind them could catch them.
Gotcha.
It would pass and have the tiebreaker. Islanders could actually catch them just with the games in hand.
Gotcha.
But they wouldn't have the tiebreaker. Now, the loss tonight, that changes things. The Capitals now could actually end up a point ahead with their mm-hmm. games in hand and that. But yeah, they're right there. I mean, you're not in panic mode. You're not in you know, oh crap mode yet, but you need wins. I mean, you've got 18 games left.
Right.
Like, you know, you're in the last quarter of the season at this point.
Yeah.
And now the trade deadline's today, and you know, maybe there's play around the trade deadline is always a little goofy. There's a lot of locker rooms are uneasy. The Lightning made a trade during the game.
They did, yeah. I saw Eduardo Encina wrote that.
They got Anthony Duclair from the Sharks. They gave up a third-round draft pick this year, and Jack Thompson, a defenseman who played one game with the Lightning this year.
The throwing Samoan, Jack Thompson, from way back when?
Yeah, not that one. But so they traded that, and they also get a seventh-round back pick either this year or next year. I don't remember which year it was. But
all right, so they get their defenseman. Is this a this?
No, that's a forward. He's a forward.
Forward. I'm sorry. Okay,
he's scored 16 goals this season in 50 some games. I mean, he's fast.
Okay,
he's a winger. He played on Florida last year, but he's fast. He can fill up the net. So you know that secondary scoring. You know, we've talked about maybe needing a second line center. Well, that he's not a center, but he's a top nine forward on the wing. Well, add some speed and some depth scoring wise for you.
Gotta get some goals. Yeah, it can't always be the same four guys.
So I'm assuming Julian Brisebois is still looking for a defenseman to mm-hmm. help on the back end.
Right.
You know, the hard part is you know, they now have no picks in the top four rounds this year. And they don't have their first round pick in 2025 either.
Well, that makes covering the draft easy.
Well, it does make covering the draft very easy, but it also, you know, makes making trades hard.
If you're right.
Organizations that are looking for picks.
You got to give up players, not picks, and they don't have the picks. Yeah, that's difficult. A lot more risky there.
We'll hear from Julian Breezeball at 3 o'clock today. So,
is the deadline
3 o'clock? It's at 3 o'clock.
Okay, yep. So he'll talk either way.
Yes. Well, they made the trade.
Well, they got one deal, so he's got to talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. He'll talk regardless. But
all right. Yeah, so well, then it's kind of
or maybe a little bit after, depending on if they make a trade late.
Busy day for a news conference. We've got Mike Evans at 12 or 12:30, and then Julian Breezeball at 3. So,
and the Lightning have their Hall of Fame ceremony tonight.
That's right. Brad Richards, right?
Brad Richards and Dave Andrechuk going to the Lightning Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Last year it was Phil Esposito, and then Marty and Vinny were automatically put in because when your number's retired, you're in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the second annual. So Andrechuk and Dave Richards, or Brad Richards.
Brad, mm-hmm.
Into the Lightning Hall of Fame tonight. So
it's really surreal, is the word of the day. It's very hard for me to believe. As you get older, you watch the mileposts pass also quickly, and usually that starts with your children, right? How quickly they grow up. But for me, I was thinking about this because I saw the broadcast that kind of promoted Brad Richards and Andrechuk. And I thought, gosh, it's been 20 years, right? 20 years since they did that.
Yep. It's the 20th anniversary.
It truly doesn't seem possible. I mean, I cannot, like, that's one of those things. I've actually been in this house, which I built, for more than 20, just a little over 20 years. And I remember watching that game with some friends, in my living room that was sparsely furnished at the time. And just that whole series was so stressful. And somebody said something on the broadcast today. I'm trying to think of who it was. One of their color commentators or whatever was talking about remembering that series because, of course, they played Calgary and that's who they beat. And they were down in the series 3-2. But that game 6, of course, is what we remember, Marty's goal and all that. But what they said was what they remembered about it was just how physical that series was. I mean, I don't know if they hit like that still or would or are allowed to or whatever, but man, they got some guys just absolutely crunched. And if you see, it's pretty funny, like, and this is probably true of a lot of Stanley Cup champions, but if you see the photo of them all with the Stanley Cup kind of piled on top of each other afterwards for a photo, like Marty's got like a big laceration across his nose. It's just like, they look like they've been in battle, And
well,
it is
what was it Wayne Gretzky saying after the Islanders won a series? This is back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Thinking he walked by the locker room and they would be celebrating. And they weren't. They were just, broken.
Licking their wounds.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
They had Corey Sarich on the intermission report for Bally's tonight.
Oh, okay.
For the 0-4 team. And they were showing he gave the assist to Fedotenko on the game-winning goal of Game 7.
That's right, yeah.
And watching the video, and you're talking about the physicalness, he passes that puck back, and he gets blown up.
He gets destroyed, yeah. And Fedotenko in that series had to – I think he had to miss a game, if I'm not mistaken, because he got obliterated in one game over the boards.
But I just watching that highlight tonight, you don't see that today, like after you've passed that
– No.
After you pass that puck back, he got destroyed.
Yeah.
And then Fedotenko puts it in. But, you don't see that hitting today.
Yeah. And that was the day I decided none of my kids, when I had them, were going to be hockey players. It was brutal. Like, it was so physical. Guys getting knocked out, and it was something else. But what a series. Hard to believe. Yeah, 20 years ago. It's just incredible. Okay, so we've got some mailbag questions coming up for you. And you people have lots of them about various things, including the Bucks and the Lightning. But first, I wanted to remind everybody that for the past 14 years, I think that's what it's been, 14, 15 years, you got the skilled pros of May Electric Solar. They've been installing solar energy systems in Florida now. They provide the most reliable solar equipment, the best installation methods and service, while helping homeowners cut their energy costs with an environmentally friendly investment. Now, May Electric Solar uses their own skilled employees, never subcontractors, and they've always offered the safest and most reliable equipment. Now, May Electric Solar offers a 30-year no-cost equipment replacement and labor warranty. That means for 30 years, May Electric Solar, backed by Solar Insure, means that your roof, electrical, and equipment replacement, it's all covered. Solar Insure even survives May Electric Solar. It's owned by the homeowner with no deductibles or additional fees. Now, this policy will transfer to new homeowners, also with no fee. It's not a blanket insurance policy. In fact, only the best contractors are allowed to be part of its program. May Electric Solar's reputation and history of workmanship has earned this membership. To learn more about May Electric Solar's installation and their 30-year warranty, call 727-819-2862 or visit mayelectricsolar.com. All right, we got some mailbag questions to end the week on here. Let's get started.
Greg asks, I'm having Baker Mayfield enough already syndrome. Has he lost some of the goodwill he's earned from the fans? The longer it takes to sign him, maybe him saying he wanted to win isn't as important as getting paid. The more he asks for, the less they have to improve the team.
Well, I can't speak to what syndrome you may be suffering from, but there's a cure for that. It's called take a deep breath and realize that it's just in your head. Listen, free agency is an imperfect science, and really, it takes two to tango thing applies here, and this is why. They don't have just one free agent to deal with, okay? There is a sort of method to their madness, and in their estimation, however it came down, at the end of the combine that Friday, you know, Jason Light, Mike Greenberg flew home early and worked all day, I think on Saturday, and then sometime Saturday night it came together, and I think the deal was announced on Sunday or Monday, but Mike Evans decided he wanted to be a Buck for life. Now, they had been exchanging numbers, and it didn't look like they were making any progress because the agent had even come out and said that Mike will, in fact, test free agency just like 24 hours earlier. So how we get from he was going to test free agency, which would indicate that they're not that close, to he wants to be a Buck for life? Some of it could be emotional. Most of it's probably business. And you just don't know, you know, sort of when all sides are going to agree on stuff like that. I mean, these are enormous deals, okay? They involve millions of dollars. There's cap ramifications, which, you know, will enable you to sign or not sign other players like Lavonte David or McLaughlin, the kicker, is another one. So, you know, you have to have structure, has to be right. There's an amount of cash involved usually with these things, like with signing bonuses. The owners have to approve that. So it's not just as simple as like, we got a deal, we got a deal. Okay, we got a deal. So these things take time. And it's also not just on Baker Mayfield's side, right? Know his agent is always ready to pick up the phone whenever he's called. And quite frankly, until they got through Tuesday on into Wednesday sometime late, you know, remember on Tuesday they went ahead and they franchised Antoine Winfield Jr. But right up until the point of that franchise deadline, which is at 4 o'clock on Tuesday, they were still trying to get a long-term deal with him, and they will continue. You know, they're going to use this franchise player tag as a placeholder because they still intend to sign Winfield as they did, you know, Chris Godwin a couple of years ago. They franchised him twice, but the second time they signed him right before the start of free agency, that's still their intention with Winfield. So they're still talking to Winfield, they're talking to Chase McLaughlin. How about Lavonte David? What are we going to do with Tristan Wirfs? So it's not just one player, although this is obviously the biggest piece. That said, you know, the other thing that happens is you get your best offer when it gets down to a deadline. Like, deadlines are always useful, right, when it comes to negotiations. One deadline might be the start of the negotiating period, you know, where you can come to an agreement with another team. Can't sign it, but you can come to an agreement. And that was the old, you know, Mike wants to be a free agent, see what's out there. So Baker could take that stance, or that could just be in the back of their minds, the Bucks, that, hey, we want to get this done, but really we got until Monday to do it. And, you know, there's no need to rush this. Would it make everybody sleep better if you're a Bucks fan and you want to know that you got your quarterback? Sure. And it's going to make me sleep better because I don't have to sit here and wait for the shoe to drop every 2 minutes and hit refresh. But or wait for a call from his agent or whatever it might, however it comes down. But I'm also have done this long enough to know these things can't be rushed, you know, and what's going to happen is going to happen. The other thing, if you're Baker Mayfield, right, and you're, say, looking at Minnesota, well, you know, here's the deal. Are they going to have a quarterback position available? In other words, is Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta? Or is Atlanta going to trade for Justin Fields? Because let's say they trade for Justin Fields. Now, that means Cousins probably staying in Minnesota. Maybe that takes away your leverage or your other opportunity or your best opportunity to go someplace where you think you can win. So there's sort of a – there's dominoes that have to fall here that will be falling, I think, as we get closer to the weekend. And Baker may be waiting for that. Is that selfish? Is that – listen, it's easy for all of us to say, hey, man, don't you got enough money, dude? You know, or, you know, why wouldn't you? Look, they signed Mike Evans. Of course you want to play here. Sign whatever they offer you, you know. But that's not our future. That's not our money, right? So just let the process play out. Be confident in the fact that he wants to be here. The Bucs absolutely want him here. I don't think they have a plan B. What would that be? Russell Wilson? Would that be? I think it'd just be Kyle Trask, quite frankly, going up against John Wolford, and they'd draft a guy somewhere. If they were fortunate enough to get Michael Penix, if he was still there, that would be, you know, probably the route they would go. But no guarantees he's going to be around at 26. So I just think that, you know, yes, people are anxious. They don't know why there's no word. But believe me, you know, we check with all the parties every day, and they're talking. They're working on it. Is it 24/7? No, it's an exchange of ideas. And like I said, if you're the Bucs, you got a bunch of free agents to deal with. Yes, Baker is the most important. But, you know, you just helped yourself with Baker by re-signing Mike Evans big time, you know. And also, for that matter, by getting Antoine Winfield Jr. franchised. I mean, you know, you're trying to keep your best players here from a team that won its, what, third straight NFC South title and was about a minute away or a two-minute drive away from maybe going to the NFC Championship game. So, you know, those are the positives. That's why Baker wants to stay. He wants to win. He could go to New England, I think, or there's certainly a lot of interest up there. But that team is rebuilding, you know. And just in general, when you've been with four teams in 2 years, what does that say to you? Of course you want to stay here. Like I said, he's at spring training, taking swings with the Yankees. Not a bad thing to do in the offseason, right? So a lot of promising things about him remaining in Tampa. I think it gets done. I think it could get done this weekend, but if it doesn't, it's gonna take it probably right up to the start of the negotiating period, or maybe even you know, to Wednesday before 4 o'clock. That's very possible in both cases.
Well, let's not forget, it's March.
Yes,
this isn't impacting the football season. It's not impacting training camp, or it's March. Right.
Well,
if it takes a week or two. It does,
you mean, like, it won't be a story in August?
But what I'm saying is the enough already syndrome. Like, come August when training camp happens, are you going to remember that he didn't sign until the new year started? No. It's March. Like, much like...
We haven't even gotten to free agency yet. Well, yeah, and he
much
hasn't
like
signed.
Congress making laws, whatever else, you don't need to see how the sausage is made.
No, not
you
really.
Don't want to. Like,
right. You know. But, some people do. But.
Well, but we're in a 24/7 news frenzy now.
Don't I know it?
That, you know, if something doesn't get done immediately, oh my goodness. And the other part is yes, if he takes less money, there's more for the team. But are you willing to do that in your job?
No, hey, I'm not.
Now, the numbers are a little different. Maybe he's getting paid more than most of our listeners.
I'm still not.
But they also have a short shelf life to make money.
Yeah, they could pay. They're one play from ending their careers.
Mm-hmm. You know, so you've got to get. I mean, I would think in most of our listeners' jobs, they're trying to get as much money as they can get.
Well,
are you going to take less so that your coworker can make more?
No, but suffice to say, too, that, you know, this could be the biggest and last biggest contract Baker Mayfield ever sees.
Absolutely.
You know, like, there's no guarantee that even if he comes back to the Bucs, that everything goes great and he stays here for 3 or 4 years and they make the playoffs every year and they go to a championship or a Super Bowl. Like, there's no guarantee whatsoever. And it's probably, I would guess, either a 2 or 3 year deal. But regardless, after this deal is over, how many guys make it to a second free agent contract? You know, you're talking about guys at this point, like maybe a Dak Prescott. Maybe a Josh Allen one day, you know, Patrick Mahomes, we'll see. But in general, your careers just aren't that long to begin with, and you can't count on it. And he didn't make a lot of money on his rookie deal, obviously. And then, you know, we see this story where he's lost $12 million in some investments that his brother and his dad had made. So, you know, to say, you know, well, it shouldn't all be about money. Well, again, it's not your money. And, you know, if he's asking for $44 million, like one report said, then I would say he's wasting everybody's time. I don't believe that's the case, by the way, and I've been told it's not. That said, you know, should he settle for 20 or 25? I don't know. You know, like if he thinks there's a market out there, then he should wait and go into free agency and prove it to the Bucks and everybody else that he's worth something more. But I think, you know, just kind of knowing how the Bucks feel about him and even the money and where that's going to fall, you kind of look at if Baker Mayfield is back with you the next couple of years and he's a top 12 to 15 quarterback, what does that mean in terms of salary, right? And if you go through it, you're going to come up with about, you know, $30-35 million or so. Especially, it might be even higher than that because, you know, when Trevor Lawrence and Dak Prescott sign their new deals, then everything's going to go up. So, you know, these are all things. They exchange numbers. It takes a while. Not everybody's available 24/7. They got other things to worry about, other players to worry about. It'll happen in its own pace. I frankly hope it happens before I wake up and that he's at the Mike Evans press conference. But that's just me because I want to get on with my life. But this is his life. You know, everybody wants to know what's taking so long. Well, it's just the process. You know, they didn't invent this. This is just what everybody has to deal with. And not for nothing, but, you know, the Bucks, Jason Light, Mike Greenberg, all those guys got to get together and decide what they want to do with ownership. And then they have to be available to kind of sit down and hash this out. And my guess is they've exchanged plenty of ideas. And when it gets close to whatever deadline the Bucks have in particular, that's when Baker Mayfield's going to get his best offer. And I'm just not sure we're there yet.
Steve asks, what is up with the Jordan Whitehead Bucks tweets today?
I saw those. I thought they were so interesting. And, you know, it's kind of the reverse of, hey, man, the guy took down all his Jess references on Instagram. Like, what's the deal? You don't want to be a Judd no more? And I'm not saying that's why Whitehead did. But this is really interesting because pretty much all day long, Jordan kept tweeting out video of himself making these horrendous hits and tackles for losses and stuff back when he played for the Bucks. And as you know, he's a free agent. Now, I thought that they've really missed him because, you know, they've tried Logan Ryan and different people, you know, even moving Antoine Winfield down in the slot for 1 year, and he got beat up until they moved him back to safety. But, you know, this has been one of those positions that the Bucks haven't had since they won a Super Bowl with Jordan Whitehead. And he's an absolute downhill thumper in the run game that can just lay people out, knock people out. And he showed a little more ball skills than I remembered when he was with the Jets. I think he had all three interceptions in one game last year, but you know, he's not without the ability to catch the ball. So like I said, it's a very crowded safety market with all pros and pro bowlers everywhere. For whatever reason, that's sort of like a bunch of teams had fire sales and or had to get under the cap so they release guys. So there's a lot of safeties out there, but once you get past that first layer, you're going to get to a guy that started a lot of games and played well in Jordan Whitehead. And obviously, you don't have to read the tea leaves to know that he'd be more than happy to come back here to Tampa. They have a need. So again, player wants to do something, team wants to do something. A lot of times it works out. But we'll see what he's willing to take.
John asks, who will be the surprise in a good way for the Rays this year? Caminero, Brendan Lau, Aranda, Meade, Savali, Paredes, Siri. Cheers to the weekend. Rest up for free agency.
I love to rest up. As soon as this podcast is over, I'm going to rest up all night. I mean, some of these guys we've seen, right? Like Paredes, Suri. Could they do more? Maybe not Paredes. Suri certainly could. Meade, I'm interested by. Who's the other? Kim and Arrow? To me, like the little bit I've seen of him, Steve, much better at the plate than I expected, right? Mm-hmm. And he's going to find himself in a fairly big role right off the bat, isn't he?
He should. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, he's going to be your starting shortstop.
Yeah. So they made the deal for him. Yeah. They brought him in here. They think he's a plus fielder, and I think just again, he's shown some power. He swings a bat pretty good.
Yeah, I think, and he also asked about bad surprises in here too.
Oh, bad surprises.
Well, no, he did both. I kind of skipped over the bad.
Oh, okay. Did he give any names or just
people? Let me rephrase the question. He said, in a good way, Caminero, Brendan Lau, hoping he's okay. Healthy. Aranda, gotcha. Meade. Is it or bad? Savali, Brendan Lau, Paredes, Siri.
You know the guy I don't have a ton of faith in is Savali.
And he's number two starter.
I know, but I don't know why. I
he didn't look that good when he came to the Rays last year.
No, and I don't think that his stuff is elite. At this stage of his career, and I don't know how deep he can go into games. He seems like a guy that if you'd have gotten him, you know, 3 to 5 years ago, sure. But I don't see him with dominant, you know, stuff to where, you know, he's going to have to try to get weak contact, and if he misses, he's going to get hurt.
Yep.
I didn't think he pitched that well for him a year ago, and if the way they're counting on him in this rotation with all the injuries they have, I don't think he's going to thrive as a number two or three. I mean, that's the one that would bother me, you know?
Yeah, I also wonder if Isak Paredes can duplicate what he did last year.
Well, that's a great point. I mean, all those home runs, right? You
know, was last year what he's capable of, or was that an aberration?
Good point, yeah.
And we'll find out, but I mean, I like him as a player, but he had a phenomenal year.
Oh, my God, he was tremendous. Now, you talk about a pull hitter, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oof.
And then Brendan Lau, I mean, can he stay
it's
healthy?
About health with him, isn't it?
Well, health, and then, you know, he's streaky.
Postseason, yeah.
He can streaky. Get really hot, and he can get really cold.
Yeah, he can carry you for a month, and then you won't see him again, yeah.
You know, can he just be a little more consistent?
Right.
And then the young guys, Caminero, Aranda, Meade, you know, how does DeLuca fit in?
They're all the same guy. In some
respect. You need some of the, and then Josh Lowe needs to take another step, I think.
Yeah, although I mean, I don't know how serious this hip thing is in spring training. I guess it's not too serious, but you do worry about that. If Lowe can add to what he did last year, it'd be phenomenal. He's going to be tested more as an outfielder this year, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's pretty. I mean, they're starting outfield.
He's their everyday guy, really.
I mean, their outfield is more set in stone than it's ever been.
Yeah, no Manny Margot,
Rosarena, Siri, and Lowe. Now they'll spell those guys. You know,
sure.
Whether it's DeLuca or whether it's Rosario going out there,
right.
You know that. You know, a day or two a week they'll each sit, so those guys will get time. But
yeah,
you know, it's as set of an outfield as you've ever seen here, or I've ever seen.
The other thing I wonder, and this is not really pertinent to Lowe or that, but, you know, if you've seen a Rosarena, I mean, he is jacked up. Like, he got in the weight room. And
nice if he get a hit, though.
Yeah, it would be.
Just one.
You just needed the World Classic again. That's what you needed. It's just not, these games aren't exciting enough for him. I really do believe, though, that hoopla, that you know, showmanship that he got playing in the World Classic and winning it playing for Mexico, last year when they, you know, he had all those moments and he just carried that right on into the season, and that energy was infectious and it was right off the bat. So he doesn't have that to hang on to. But, you know, is he capable of more, or should you as a staff or as a team, should you consider how he wore down last year and try to give him more days off? He won't want them. He'll want to play every day.
Yep.
But should you try to protect him from himself?
Well, and the other thing, I mean, you know, he's jacked this year.
Oh, God.
And he's doing it to try to be more durable. But I also wonder if it doesn't become, I'm only swinging for home runs now.
Well, that and I, you know, this is old school, right? And guys nowadays all work out year round and they do lift weights and stuff. But I think you can get too big in a sense that you can shorten your swing or lengthen your swing or change your swing just based on the contraction of your muscles and the size of them. I mean, you know, it doesn't take much to change the path of that bat, believe me. I mean, bad habits do it. You know, I used to have, when I was playing, I'd have this habit of the bat would start, the barrel would start to tilt towards over my head, and then the swing became really long. Like, those guys are so, you know, in tune with how they swing the bat, and just the slightest little variance where their hands are, for example, or where they, how they set up, if they're open or closed, everything affects their swing. So I got to believe, just in my personal, you know, observations throughout the years, that if you add a lot of weight in the chest and the arms, that has to affect the way you swing the bat. I don't know how any other way it wouldn't, but you know, we'll see. I mean, it's way too early to, you know, we don't have a big sample size or anything. But yeah, if his goal was to get bigger because he knows he's going to wear down during the season, he wanted to be stronger, then I wonder, well, if that's the case and you did wear down, maybe the Rays should just protect you and take and not make you play as much, because he wants to play every single day. And then maybe they have to protect him from him. So that'll be something to watch.
All right, Brantley asks, hypothetically speaking, if Wander Franco were to be found innocent, how do you think he would be received back with the team and community?
Well, I think ultimately he would be received fine. But a big part of that would be how he handles that, right? Like, I think people, and again, if you're innocent, you're innocent. But the story is sort of sordid in that there was some involvement with an underage girl. Now, if it's complete BS and it's proven, then you're like, well, he didn't do it. The court found that he didn't do it. And, you know, this was all a setup or extortion or whatever. So that would be, the set of facts will matter in this case, I guess. But assuming, you know, like the questioner asked, if he's found innocent, then yeah, I, you know, people have short memories, man. When you go back and you go back to shortstop and you start making plays and hitting balls out of the, off the wall, they're going to be cheering your name and you know, the bygones will be bygones. But before that happens, I still think he has to have some contrition. I still think he has to say, hey, you know, and I'm not writing his speech form or anything, but it would be something along those lines. You go as far as he wants to go. But at minimum, I think he has to say, I feel, you know, really awful for having caused such a distraction, you know, and become such a story, you know, for my team and caused so much uncertainty, and they had to go out and get a shortstop and, like, you know, but I've been working at this. I've been working on myself. Like, you want to know that he's recognized that he put himself and his team in a bad position here, and that he's contrite about it, and he's working to be a better man. I think if you hit those themes in one little 5-minute interview and just knock it out, get in front of it, knock it out as soon as you, before you take the field, most people are forgiving, even if they, you know, aren't entirely convinced. But the sooner you do that, the better. Without contrition, though, if you go out there and you're just blowing bubblegum and, you know, like nothing ever happened and I had a, you know, a vacation from spring training, I'm not so sure people are going to be good with that. You know, you're always going to be under suspicion no matter what, by some people anyway. And so, you know, better to come in and, you know, acknowledge that this was a bad position you put yourself and that you put your team in, however it happened or did not happen. You had to be at a time and a place where you weren't supposed to be to allow this to occur. And I think you have to, you know, reassure people you're going to make better decisions. If you do that and do it one time, get it over with, yeah, fans are fans, man. First time you lace one down the line, they'll be standing up screaming your name, no doubt about it.
Les asks, how many years will Kevin Cash wait it out here in Tampa Bay to win a title before going the Joe Maddon route and leaving for a big market team to chase a ring?
Ooh, that's good. Well, has he been here longer than Maddon already?
This is what, 10 years now?
Yeah.
Maddon got here in 06 or 07? 06
or 07.
Yeah, I think 08. He's been here longer than Madden. I think Madden was here 8 years maybe.
Yeah. I would say, listen, anything's possible because, first of all, Kevin Cash, if he, the thing about Madden was he got to a point where he didn't want to do another contract or he talked them into letting him out of his contract.
Well, no. His contract was triggered because Andrew Friedman left. And he had a clause
that's
in
right.
His
he had a clause that said
that
he could be a
him
free
to
agent
at that point.
Correct. Okay.
Kevin Cash and Eric Neander just re-signed contracts or just signed new ones.
Okay. So I don't know if Kevin's
tied together,
if he's married up with somebody or not. But let's assume that he just has his deal and his deal is his deal. My thing would be there's one factor, and I think it's a big one, but maybe it's not as big as I'm making it out to be. One factor is this. This is his home. You know, Joe Madden's not from Tampa Bay. He loved it here. He lived here. He's from Pennsylvania. And he lived, you know, he was in the Angels organization all those years. But this is Kevin Cash's home. This is his hometown team. And he's sort of living a dream here, you know. So I don't know that he'd be quite as fast to jump necessarily now. You know, he too could get tired of the same things Madden did, analytics, and, you know, we don't spend money on free agents, and I keep developing players, and we lose them. So fatigue is, I think, is real, especially if you're the longest tenured manager in baseball and you know you can go almost any place. That's something, you know. And I mean, certainly if they had a stadium hiccup and, you know, that team – didn't get its ballpark and was starting about talking about moving again. I mean, there are factors that would you would think would cause Cash to, you know, at least get the wandering eye. But I do think he enjoys being the Rays manager because it's where he grew up. And, you know, his family's here, his parents are here. Like, to me, that's a unique situation. Whether it would be enough to prevent him from going someplace else if things aren't good, I don't know. But I don't see him doing that. Now, by tomorrow, he'll be managing the, you know.
Right. Now, Angel. He and Neander just signed contracts, and according to Mark Topkin,
okay,
they're going to be under contract through until they move in the new stadium in 28.
Okay. So yeah.
Assuming there's not a trigger that he can get out of.
Yeah, which we don't know.
Which is what Joe Madden had happen. Andrew Friedman left. I think Madden like a year left on his deal.
You're 100%. I'd forgotten about that, yeah.
But that triggered a clause in his contract that allowed him, he had, I forget how many days it was, to decide. At that point, if he wanted to get out of his contract, which he did, and then went to the Cubs. But, you know, the other part of it, and you mentioned the home thing, but the other part is age, too.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Madden was a lot older where you're going, okay.
Running out of runway, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to win a World Series, and maybe I can't do it. And what would it mean to Kevin? Does he have, like, the luxury of age, right? He's younger. Can he spend more time because it means so much more to win a World Series here? Right, you know what I mean? Like maybe in for a dime, in for a couple more years. I don't know. But look, at some point, even Kevin Cash is going to get tired of it. If every year, as it's been, you lose your best players or you can't. But you know, the stadium is supposed to change that dynamic.
Well, you had Wander Franco signed to a 12-year deal.
Yeah, you did. You couldn't foresee what happened there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and presumably with the stadium, it's going to allow them to do more of that now. You know, can they sign Randy Arozarena? That's going to be more up to Randy, I think, than based on he's got an agent, Scott Boras, who pretty much would say, no, I'm never signing a free agent contract with Tampa Bay. But
with a new stadium,
the player can decide what he wants to do.
Yeah, new stadium, new revenues to buy free agents with. Now you become more on par with some of the teams in the AL East. If you could do that, then this is where you want to be. You know, like the fact is that Joe didn't feel. I think, you know, he got fatigued with the economics of the situation, the analytics taking over the game and him in particular. And he had a once-in-a-lifetime chance to go to a storied franchise like the Cubs, who had a pretty good manager that they fired to get Joe, and it was Chicago, you know. And then he did the impossible, and he won a World Series with the Cubs. And he'll never be in that town again where he's not. Where he pays a bar bill or a dinner tab. It's just never going to happen. So, you know, a little different situation, but I think Kevin will last longer.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
We'll wrap up on this one. Craig had sent this a couple times, actually. So how do we fix the Bolts? Stamkos is a minus 25 this year and will be an unrestricted free agent. You also have some guys getting long in the tooth. Will Vazzy ever get back to a top 10 goalie in the league? Thoughts on what the future looks like for the Bolts? Should there be some trade assets for depth?
Well, the problem is, when you say assets, you just mentioned that, you know, they don't have draft picks, so you're talking about players. I mean, look, whether they keep this team or some of its parts, Stamkos, Hedman, you know, some others, together any longer, to me, it doesn't really matter. I think they've had their run with the core of this team. I'm not talking about Vasi necessarily. But you've got another core, right, with Kucherov, with Point, with Hagel now.
Sergachev's 25.
Sergachev. And... yeah, there's a young group that you've managed to integrate with this team and won Stanley Cups with them. But they've got a bunch of tread left on their tires. So however they do this, at some point, and using the Bill Belichick theory, year too early rather than a year too late, at some point, you're going to have to move on. They moved on from Vinny LeCavalier. They moved on from Marty St. Louis, Brad Richards. You know, like, you just have to do it. And I feel like, with good reason, they felt like, you know, we can make a run at this thing one more year. Mm-hmm. And with the salary cap issues and all that, and, of course, you know, the COVID stuff, you know, affected the revenues and stuff. But as it gets more back to normal, I mean, I could see that next year you don't have a Stamkos, you don't have a Hedman.
Well, Hedman's got one more year left on his deal, so he's here next year.
Well,
sure.
So he's here. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Then in the next 2 years, I don't think some of these iconic players will be around. I don't think you can afford to keep them, Steve, and I don't think you're going to...
Yeah, I think it depends on, you know, what does Stamkos want to stay?
Right.
You know, is it going to be $8.5 million that he's making now? No.
Right. Right.
I think the biggest, I don't know if it's a question, it's the Vazzy. I mean, he hasn't looked himself this year.
And not entirely.
Goalie coach Franjean spoke at Tuesday's practice afterwards. And several times talked about how resilient Vazzy's been this year.
That's not a word you use for somebody that's healthy.
Well, it leads me to believe that it's, you know, he had back surgery.
Yeah.
And you're playing a position that...
requires you
your
to
back
bend.
A lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My guess is he's not 100%. And
I think, because he missed so many games at the start of the season, there's really no way you could think he was 100%, right?
Well, and you know, he did start slow. He did play a lot better.
He had to play his way into shape, I think.
The last, tonight's game they lost, I don't know if you put any of those goals on him. There was a lot of bad defense in front of him, a lot of bad turnovers, a lot of just. But he hasn't been the Vazzy we know and you know,
no,
called the
this
best
is not his
world.
Best year, not no. comparatively, no.
But I wonder how healthy he is. But I also wonder why has he played as much as he has if he's not 100% healthy?
Well, it's a good point. And now, you know, the answer is because they want to win and they think he gives them the best chance.
Well, that's definitely part of it. When you're sitting on the edge of the playoffs, how much do you give the backup goalie?
I think if they knew they were hurting him by playing him as much,
yeah,
they wouldn't do it because they have too much invested in him.
Well, I'm guessing that, you know, he's playing through, assuming it's still his back that's not 100%, that it's not hurting his back. It's just... dealing with
it's hurting his performance.
Well, right? Yeah, but I mean, it's, you know, it's not making him worse long term because of it.
Yeah, no more damage. Yeah,
right. So when your goalie coach is using the word it's, you've been resilient this year,
that's a euphemism for not the same guy. You know,
right? That you're
like
still
he's doing the best he
stuff.
Can. He's still very good, but he's not quite Vasi because he's dealing with stuff. You know, like, but sometimes when you have these kind of things like surgeries and stuff. it's the year after the year you come back that mm-hmm. you start to look yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Whether that's in football with knee injuries, I've seen it. You know, Chris Godwin, his first year back. And look, I don't think he's the same player now, but if you recall, somehow he managed to play against Dallas in the opener, and then he tweaked his hamstring, which I think was because he was favoring his knee. And then you never really saw him cut the way he cut, be as physical as he was. There's a confidence thing, you know? And then the next year, a little bit better. And, you know, while they still probably need to move him back in the slot and then play his old position, you know, it takes time. It takes time to get over that mental hurdle. So I think that's probably where they're stuck. And he's still very, very good. I mean, that shows you how great he is that he can still go out there and dominate, you know, and steal a game for you here and there. But you're right. He's not had that kind of year that they're used to with him. All right, well, it's going to be a busy weekend, of course. Speaking of the Lightning, they've got their Hall of Fame ceremony or dinner, I guess it would be, when they're honoring these guys. And then they'll put their jerseys in the rafter on Saturday when they play the Philadelphia Flyers. Tortorella in town.
The Hall of Fame ceremony is tonight, so at Amalie Arena.
Okay.
So tickets still available.
Nice. And then they play Saturday night.
Yeah, they play the Flyers Saturday night. Yep.
So Tortorella will be there. Tortorella.
Yep.
Will be there, and he can witness sort of the 20-year anniversary of his run if he wants to. But
a lot of the 04 guys will be there.
Yeah.
And obviously with Brad Richards and David.
Brad Richards going in. Anderchuk. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of their teammates will be there, so it should be a good time.
All of that. We'll talk to Mike Evans today. You can read about his news conference in the Tampa Bay Times on TampaBay.com. And then free agency is just right around the corner, man. Monday is the start of the negotiating period. That goes all the way to Wednesday at 4 o'clock when we have the start of free agency. They've still got a bunch of guys out, including Baker Mayfield, Levante David, Chase McLaughlin, maybe an extension for Tristan Wirfs they'd like to do. So we're hoping that they start checking those boxes and run out of money so we don't have to worry about free agency much longer. But if there is anything, it'll be on TampaBay.com and in the Tampa Bay Times. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Rays are in the Dominican Republic this weekend.
Oh, shoot. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
They're playing who down there?
I believe the Red Sox, if I recall.
Red Sox. Okay.
Yeah. For a couple
games.
The
Dominican. So we'll have stories from there. I think Mark Tompkins is going to that.
He is.
Yeah, that'll be a cool trip.
He is going down there. And then South Florida, they wraps up their regular season at Tulsa. Could they finish the regular season 17-1 in the conference?
Could they keep their winning streak alive? What's it up to, like 14 right now?
15
like
right now. So Saturday would be 16. And then the conference tournament will start on Wednesday next week, but they won't play till Friday because they're the number one seed.
How do you feel about Seth Davis saying that unless they win the conference tournament, they're probably not getting in no matter what?
Well, I mean, the fact that they use the net rankings is such a big part of it. They just cracked the top 75 now. It's you know, they've taken a lot of the discretion out from the committee to a point.
Right.
Not completely, but a lot of it. So it's probably true.
Yeah, I think it's probably true, too. But
it stinks, and it's because they had a couple – it really hurts. They had a couple bad losses at the beginning of the season.
Early, yeah. Mm.
A couple teams in the last quadrant, basically, of the net rankings.
Yeah, that didn't help.
But, you know, as they were getting started.
Frankly, the AAC just isn't strong enough as a conference.
It would have helped if Memphis didn't go through that skid where they lost a lot in a row.
Yeah.
And kind of fell out of the top 25 and – FAU's right. not there anymore. You know, they're not in the top 25. They needed a couple of those teams to stay strong.
That's right. So those could be quality wins.
So, well, just to elevate the conference as a whole, too.
Right. Yeah. It's just not it's not ranked high enough. But if they win it, they get the automatic bid. So March Madness is almost upon us, and I'm here for it, man. It's just one more thing. It's a good month. And then at the end of this month, of course, the start of the Major League Baseball season, so we're really close.
Oh, and the St. Pete Grand Prix. Grand Prix.
That's this weekend. Yeah.
Sunday.
Matty Baker will be out there, I'm sure, as he usually is. You can check that out in the Tampa Bay Times. You can hear the
There's so the much going on
buzzing.
In March.
It's beautiful,
in this
isn't
area.
It?
I mean,
tell you what, the weather's great. You can't beat the weather right now.
It is.
Absolutely gorgeous.
But with spring training and then the Grand Prix and then Valspar's so nice. In a couple weeks. And
Valspar's coming up. Best time of year.
Lightning, you know, you're getting ready for, you know, hopefully for the playoffs, and it's just there's so much to do in this area at this time of year.
Right. And just enjoy the weather.
And we lose an hour of sleep this weekend too. So.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thanks. Can't wait. That's the worst.
Just one less worst hour idea. Baker watch though.
I know, but it's the worst idea that anyone's ever come up with in the history of the world is this thing called daylight savings time. We're not a bunch of farmers. I don't understand it. Somebody's got to explain it to me.
Well, I'll talk to Congress.
I want to, but I got to go to Washington to do that, but I might. So, yeah, it just doesn't make sense. I think we should have two time zones in the United States as well, not three.
Well, there's four, but, you know, and that's not counting Hawaii and Alaska.
I don't care about them. I mean, they can do what they want to out there, but what I'm saying is, hey, if you live on the West Coast, that's your problem, man. Just not going to be, you know, it's going to get dark early. What can I tell you? I don't think we need them. That's just my opinion. I know the world is round, though.
Well, how about there's a couple states that don't do daylight savings time, and that really
that's even more confusing, right? Because when everybody switches, they don't, and then when they switch, I think Indiana might be one of those states. I'm not sure.
No, half of Indiana used to be. I think they're
just
now,
half.
Think,
yeah, oh God!
Actually, half.
That's
of
even
it,
worse.
Yeah, yeah, because
it's worse.
It is split down the middle of the time zone.
That's terrible.
But I think now I think everybody just stays. They
stays
go to
the same way all year.
But
long.
It's Arizona and Hawaii, I think, are the two that don't.
All right. Well, that's where I'm going to move then. Okay. Well, anyway, enjoy the weekend. Keep it right here. We'll be back to talk to you on Monday on Sports Day Tampa Bay for Steve Burstyn, Gummerick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great one, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.